The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tov, Howard, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're having a fantastic Throwback Thursday today.
Sounds like you're having a lot more fun than I thought you were going to have today, Howard.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, it means, you know, this whole Laura Branigan thing. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, I have to say.
Yeah, you never took me for a Laura Branigan fan, did you? You judged me.
I judged you,
Anthony. You know what? Shame on you.
I don't know if it's a judgment, Howard. I think it's just kind of an assessment of a situation which clearly wasn't accurate.
Absolutely. You're better at the Israel Report than this. Okay, so Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday appointed Israel's first ever gay minister to the interim government. Absolutely, I think, wonderful news. And especially because a day before, well, I can't remember his name because I'd never heard of him until the day before. He's a fairly right-wing politician who's very homophobic, and he wanted to be Minister of Justice. I thought it just worked beautifully. What prompted the appointment at this time?
So I think the person that you're thinking of is Smotrich, who's been a very controversial figure and certainly is not happy that he wasn't appointed. But Amir Ohana has become Israel's first gay minister ever. And he's been appointed as the interim justice minister. And this comes after Ayelet Shaked was fired from her position, a position that she's held effectively since the elections before last. I don't know how we describe the whole situation with elections, but she's held the position for a few years as Minister of Justice. And as soon as she was fired, what effectively happens is that while there is no minister in place, the Prime Minister fulfills that position. Now, the Prime Minister was advised very strongly, given the state of affairs with various legal inquiries going on into him personally, that he could not hope to fill the Minister of Justice position without having a conflict of interest. So therefore, he was advised that he needed to act very, very quickly indeed in order to appoint a replacement Minister of Justice, and that he's done in the form of Amir Ohana, who is somebody who's been a fairly long time Likud Member of Parliament and, of course, Member of Likud, and, of course, a very public and outspoken member of the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And the statement that he made was very interesting as soon as he was appointed. The statement that he made was as follows. As a Jew, as an Israeli, as the partner of the love of my life, Alon Hadad, as the father of Ella and David, as a Mizrahi, as a Likudnik, as a Be'er Sheva native, as a liberal, and as a lawyer who has spent thousands of hours in court, it is a great honor to serve Israel as Justice Minister. Mm. Interesting statement for me.
Absolutely amazing statement. Just the fact that he's coming at it as an individual, as a gay person, as a lawyer, it's just, I think, very, very powerful.
I think that, you know, he effectively tried in that sentence to identify the various aspects
of that, who he is.
Exactly, that are his makeup. You know, first of all, the first thing he said that he was a Jew, which is interesting. And then as an Israeli, and then he mentioned that he has a partner, and of course he is a father. And not only is he a father, but he has a background. He comes from the Mizrahi community. He's a member of the Likud. He lives in Be'er Sheva. He's proud of all of those things, and they are who he is. All of those individual elements make up the person that he is. And I think, I think it's a very interesting situation that we find ourselves in, not only from a judicial point of view, from a legal point of view, having a new Minister of Justice at this particularly critical juncture in those investigations against Prime Minister Netanyahu. Just to add that he's now apparently intending, or perhaps already has made, an application to potentially delay further the hearing that is due to take place into the allegations against him as a result of the election having been called. So therefore, of course, people are wondering whether all of that just wasn't a ploy to try and delay further the hearing that will be taking place. It's not clear yet what the response will be from the state's legal counsel and from the Attorney General in particular as to whether that hearing will be delayed. But there is certainly an interesting legal situation that Israel has in terms of the Justice Ministry. And it's going to be interesting to see how Amir Ohana fits in with all of this.
Yeah, Mervyn saying gays are an abomination, and he's given us a lot of exclamation marks here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 says, obviously quite serious about that. Mervyn, I think it's time to reevaluate, in my view, your thoughts on that. It's becoming a little anachronistic. Saul says, Howard, seeing you wearing a yellow speedo singing at the pool, I just can't go to work today. That's from Saul. Saul, I never owned a yellow speedo. And
did we have to hear that?
Yeah, really, was that necessary? You know, in the interest of complete transparency, I have to read these things. But wow, that wasn't necessary at all. The whole issue of him being gay bothers me a little bit, not in the same sense as Mervyn bothers Mervyn, but from exactly the opposite perspective. Should we be talking, I mean, and noting it and giving it accolades when, in fact, it should be the most normal thing in the world, and it should make no difference whether the guy is gay or not. If he's the right person to be the justice minister, then he needs to be the justice minister. The fact that we have to, and we are placing a lot of emphasis on the fact that he's gay, and I get why, because I do think it's an important milestone, but at the same time, I think it's a pretty negative reflection on us that we have to even note that. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think we have to note it, because I think in days gone by, this might have not happened for the reasons that he's gay. I mean, it might have been something sensitive. It might have been something that would have been in consideration as to whether he is really appropriate for the job. And, you know, we'll talk perhaps a little bit later about the Jerusalem Gay Pride Parade. Sorry, the noise going on in the background. We'll talk a little bit later about the Jerusalem Gay Pride Parade that's due to take place later today. But again, the question is, you know, is it necessary to have a gay pride parade at all? Do we need to make that announcement publicly? And obviously members of the LGBT community feel that they do. They feel that there is still enough feeling that is contrary, that feels that they're an abomination in the way that Mervyn describes, that they do need to make a public statement, that they do need to come out and, you know, show their pride, hence the term gay pride, that there's nothing to be ashamed of. It is what it is. And they are people like everybody else. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, straight people don't have a straight pride parade, so why should gay people have a gay pride parade? But I think it's a lot about where we've come from on this issue rather than where we're at right now. And I think that there is still that, you know, historical element, the background, that simply can't be ignored.
Absolutely, I do hear that. Dorf says, so disappointing, Mervyn. And Clive says, does he know if he's Arthur or Martha? Clive, he is gay. He is not transsexual. There is a big difference, and I think we need to just become a little bit better informed on these subjects. All right, on that subject, the Jerusalem's Gay Pride Parade is going to take place later today. How are the residents of Jerusalem responding to it?
Well, with a lot of contradiction, really. I mean, everybody's having a slightly different view on this thing. That, I think, has been reflected by the High Court decision that was brought in the middle of the night to try to prevent the municipality from removing posters that had been put up. And the posters that had been put up along the route of the Gay Pride Parade say, Mom and Dad equals family. That's the poster, in order to try to signify that, you know, gay families do not equal family, that single-sex couples do not equal family, and that the way that family should be interpreted is with a mother and a father. And then it has got a little note underneath that says, people with the courage to be normal. Okay, which is underneath that poster. And what happened was that the Jerusalem municipality began to remove these posters that it had been put up. And the High Court was asked to rule on the Jerusalem municipality's right to remove these posters as an infringement of their freedom of speech. As it turns out, the High Court said the municipality is indeed entitled to remove these posters. So the High Court actually did not prevent the municipality from removing that, and the High Court seemed to have been quite annoyed by this motion that was brought. So there is a lot of controversy surrounding the gay pride parade in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's mayor has had to respond to citizens of Jerusalem who have been outraged by the fact that there is a gay pride parade and that there are these flags, gay pride flags, up along the route. And he's promised them that as soon as the gay pride parade is over today, the flags will be removed. That is Moshe Leon, who has made that promise to some of the residents of Jerusalem who've written to him, who've been really infuriated by all of the events that are going on. Now, I mean, Jerusalem is classically a city that has that is very conservative and that has a very conservative element in its population, both Jews and other religions as well. And so I don't think that this necessarily comes as a huge shock that it's very controversial in Jerusalem. But having said that, that, you know, I think that that's exactly the reason why the LGBT community have felt the need to have a gay pride parade in Jerusalem in order to exactly challenge the views that are being expressed by that ultra conservative element of the Jerusalem residency, which clearly I think is a higher element than in most cities in Israel and certainly around the world.
Yeah, and let's just hope, let's hope that it is peaceful. I mean, it's not as though this is without its challenges. Time is 7:56. Finally, Anthony, Saturday evening is the festival of Shavuot. Of course, here in South Africa and actually everywhere outside of Israel, it's a two-day festival. It's for Sunday and Monday. In Israel, it's a one-day festival, Saturday night and Sunday. What happens in Israel over this period?
Well, Shavuot is actually a very exciting time over Israel because not only do we have the whole tradition of the Tikkun Leil Shavuot, which is the way of trying to make up for the mistake that was made on the day before the Torah was received, where it is felt that the Bnei Israel in the desert at that stage, who were expecting to receive the Torah, didn't stay up all night in order to anticipate this huge event that was taking place the following day. So now, these days, we do what's called a Tikkun Leil Shavuot. Tikkun meaning to correct, to make right, to redo what was done in a more correct way, what should have been done previously. And of course, it's the tradition for a lot of learning to take place. And certainly in Israel, the programs that are available for learning on Tikkun Leil Shavuot are just massive. It's become one of the biggest learning events, if not of the year, then certainly even more than that, because it's just really, really massive in terms of how many programs are available and how many people attend. And I'm not necessarily only limiting this to the religious community. I think it goes a lot further than that. Absolutely. People who are interested in learning a little bit more about Torah and about religion, about some of the discussion points that come out of religion that are relevant to our society today. I think that there is a huge amount of different angles that are up for discussion over Tikkun Leil Shavuot. And then, of course,
finish your point. I want to go back to another subject. So we'll wait once you finish.
And then, of course, in Jerusalem on Sunday morning, people will be coming in the very, very early hours of the morning to the Kotel. The whole of Jerusalem effectively finishes their programs of Tikkun Leil Shavuot, and people will be walking from every corner of the city towards the Kotel, where they will have early morning Shavuot davening, and of course the reading of the Megillah. And you know, that is regarded as certainly one of the highlights of the year in Jerusalem, to be part of this amazing army of people who will all descend upon the Kotel for sunrise to celebrate Shavuot and to hear the reading of the Megillah.
Absolutely amazing. Moshe says, just going back to the gay pride parade discussion, and he raises, I think, an interesting point. Hi, Anthony. I understand that Israel is a free and open society, and we are proud of that. But Jerusalem is also a holy city for thousands of years, and not only Jews, but even other religions as well. I feel it's insensitive and inflammatory to have a gay pride parade there, Moshe. And it's an interesting question. I mean, and especially someone like Moshe who's coming from a point and saying, I've got no issue with it, and it doesn't need to be, you know, Israel is a free society and we're very proud of that. But does a gay pride parade have to happen in Jerusalem?
Well, I think there are obviously two sides to the story, and of course Moshe has a point, and that point is very strongly mentioned, which says, you know, why do we have to break what is essentially the spirit of Jerusalem, the spirit of Jerusalem being the holiness, being the religious aspect, being the holy sites that have been there, and people who are coming to the city in order to visit the holy sites if they are visitors, or people choosing to live in the city because of the fact that it has historically been that holy city over many, many years. And so therefore this could potentially be seen as an attempt just to I don't know, spit in the face of that. I don't know. Some people feel that it's very strong, a very strong statement of trying to just fly against everything that Jerusalem presents. But I think the other point of view is that Jerusalem has a gay community. Mm. And to the extent that the very conservative attitude that we see in Jerusalem actually works against that gay community, I think the gay community feel that they want to come out and say, hey, we also have a place in this city. And in the same way as you guys have the opportunity to do your religious things and to, you know, the Christians have on Easter, the procession down the Via Dolorosa or whatever it is. Why should they have the right to do that if we don't have the right to do what we like to do, which is to have a parade in the city? We're not infringing upon anybody's right to do whatever they wish to do. We're not harming anybody in the process. We're just making a statement of what we like and what we feel, and the fact that we have a right to be in the city like everybody else. So I think that that's the other side of this argument.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. Time is 8:01. Lots and lots of other messages. Keep them coming in. We'll continue this conversation even after 8 o'clock. Apologies, your news is a bit late, but these were important discussions. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. You have a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, and we'll catch up with you on Tuesday. You get to take Monday off because it is Shavuot here in South Africa.
Take care. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.